Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Many things can and do divide our families and sometimes even a congregation of the church to which we might belong. In the cases of both families and congregations, some divisions may be unnecessary, while other divisions may be necessary. In today's gospel reading, we heard Jesus' family and Jewish officials say wrong, even blasphemous, things about Jesus himself, which prompts Jesus to speak both about a hypothetically divided kingdom and house and about his true family. On this, the second Sunday after Pentecost, then, we reflect on the gospel reading under the theme, the Lord's undivided house. Both St. Matthew and St. Luke's gospel accounts also report essentially what we heard this morning. But following Lutheran Service Book's three-year series of readings, we hear only St. Mark's account over the course of the cycle, with its unique eyewitness details. As we heard, Jesus went into a home, perhaps Peter and Andrew's, and a crowd gathered there as it had before, so that they, presumably Jesus and his disciples, could not even eat bread. When Jesus' family members, whatever their actual relation might be, heard about what was happening, they were repeatedly saying that Jesus was out of his mind. And they went, likely the 30 miles from Nazareth to Capernaum, in order to seize Jesus. Meanwhile, scribes from Jerusalem were repeatedly saying both that Jesus was possessed by a demon named Beelzebul and that Jesus cast out demons by the prince of demons. So having called them, Jesus spoke to them in parables, first asking how Satan could cast out Satan, and then teaching that a kingdom or house divided against itself cannot stand, but that a stronger man can plunder a strong man's house. Then, in all likelihood later, after Jesus' family members had arrived and called him, Jesus identified his true family as those who do the will of God. Your lay delegate, J.D. Sampson, and I spent 2.5 days this past week, though it seemed a lot longer, at the 60th Annual Convention of the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We repeatedly heard people say wrong, perhaps even blasphemous things about how Jesus' kingdom of the church grows, and thus arguably about Jesus himself. To be sure, no one said, as Jesus' family members were repeatedly saying, that Jesus was out of his mind. And no one said, as the Jerusalem scribes were repeatedly saying, that Jesus was possessed or that he was in league with the devil. But they seemed indifferent to the truth of Holy Scripture as confessed by the Lutheran Church. And they not only seemed to want to, but seemed actually to walk apart from those faithful to Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. In some cases, taking credit for what they consider to be growth in the church, and in other cases, verbally beating up those who do not go about mission work as they think mission work should be done. Brothers and sisters in Christ, like the Missouri Synod itself, the Texas District is divided. The district, arguably about 75% to 25%, and faithful pastors and congregations are in the minority. The division in our church body is painful, frustrating, and sad, just like division in our families, which sometimes also comes from what people repeatedly say about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, and how he gives out the benefits of what he has done. Of course, even those who believe and truly confess in word and deed still always fail to do so, because we all remain sinful by nature, deserving both death now in time and torment in hell for eternity. Yet, as we heard Jesus say in today's gospel reading, and as it's highlighted on your bulletin cover, all sins will be forgiven. When we repent of our sin and trust God to forgive our sin, then God forgives our sin, whatever our sin might be. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, that is, attributing the Spirit's work to Satan, as the Jerusalem scribes in the gospel reading did, is in a sense unforgivable only as long as the one so blaspheming continues to reject the Holy Spirit's work in his or her individual life. God wills for everyone to repent and believe, and so he graciously calls and enables all to do so if they do not reject that will. God revealed his will for all to be saved as soon as the first man and woman plunged themselves and all of us, their descendants, into sin. In today's Old Testament reading, we heard God speak of the enmity, the opposition between the devil in the form of the serpent and humanity. And God promised that that offspring or seed of the woman would bruise or crush the serpent's head, though the serpent would bruise or strike his heel. That gospel promise was fulfilled on the cross. There, the God-man Jesus, in keeping with the will of God, gave himself up for our sins in order to deliver us from the present evil age. There on the cross, as Jesus put it in the gospel reading, the stronger man binds up the strong man and plunders his house. God's will is for us to see Jesus and hear his voice, that we look on Jesus and believe in him, and so have eternal life. God's will for us is that we be sanctified, made holy by him working through us in his means of grace. You may have heard the saying, blood is thicker than water. It apparently goes back to a medieval German work, later translated into English, entitled Reynard the Fox. And the saying is usually taken to mean that family ties are more important than other ties that we might make. But in the case of the Lord's undivided house, water and blood both bind us to him. And that is the most important tie that we can have. In the water of holy baptism, we are born not of the will of man or of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. Even for a newborn child, such as that pictured on the bulletin cover, holy baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. As we observe necessary divisions, we come to the Lord's altar and its rail, here receiving bread that is his body and wine that is his blood, given and shed for you and for me for the forgiveness of our sins. The Lord sets the solitary, the lonely, in a home or a family with new family members by the water of holy baptism and by the blood of the sacrament of the altar. In these ways, God wills that we worship him, seeking and receiving the forgiveness of sins. In these ways, in the words of today's appointed verse, the Lord builds his undivided house. And the Lord does build his undivided house, his church, in his way and time, creating faith in those who hear the gospel when and where it pleases him. Neither the Missouri Synod nor the Texas district is to be identified strictly with his church. Like the Lord himself, the Lord's kingdom, his house, is not divided. Those who believe, teach, and confess differently are not a part of it. The Lord's house, his kingdom, the church, will stand. The gates of hell do not prevail against her. To some extent, we can and should grieve divisions over matters of the faith among our own relatives and in our own church body. But we do not despair, and we do not compromise the teaching and practice of the faith to pretend that there is unity where, in fact, there is division. Without disrespecting our relatives or disrespecting authorities in our church body, we speak the truth in love, and we correct with gentleness. People may think that we are out of our minds or that we have a different spirit, something that was actually said at the convention. But as we heard St. Paul say in today's epistle reading, as we believe, so we speak. God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ extends to more and more people, and thanksgiving increases to the glory of God. We do not lose heart. Our momentary afflictions prepare us for eternal glory beyond comparison. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.